This travel show is brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank. Ted Blank comes to you from Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure, and we are going to talk about a European adventure. Great to see you. How have you been?
Good to see you. I'm glad to be back.
Well, I'm so happy that you're here. So, Ted, Europe, I mean, obviously that's a continent. So when people say, I want to go to Europe, what does that even mean, right?
You know, I once had a fortune cookie that said, you want to go to Egypt. And it was kind of the same thing. I'm like, well, yeah, of course I want to go. But sometimes the difference between the distance between a dream and making it a reality can be quite a big gap for people. And so I think a lot of people have, you know, an idea in their head that they'd like to go to Europe sometime. And they don't really know where to start. They don't know how to narrow the focus down to, you know, a digestible trip. And they're oftentimes very overwhelmed by a lot of the logistics that can go along with a big international trip. And I think, too, you know, when it's a big trip for you and you've kind of built up anticipation in your mind, you really want to make sure things go well.
Of course.
So I think sometimes that holds people back because they know they can't figure this out on their own and they're not quite sure where to start.
When do people decide they would like to go to Europe? Because in my opinion, I think when you're quote unquote younger, that's really not on the radar until you hit a certain age, unless you're trying to take your kids there for educational purposes or something.
Yeah, I think one of the triggers for people to take a trip to Europe for the first time is actually that their kids or their grandkids go to study abroad. So certainly that's one reason. But a lot of people, you know, because it's a longer trip, they kind of file it away in the back of their heads until they're retired or maybe semi-retired. You know, the idea maybe came to them when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have some family roots somewhere in Europe. Maybe they, you know, they watch The Sound of Music and they want to go see Salzburg. You know, there are a whole variety of reasons why people want to go to Europe. And I think the seed gets planted, you know, sometime between when you're a teenager and when you're an adult. But most people don't act on it until they're, you know, getting to be kind of retirement age or they have the time and the means to take a little bit more time away from work.
Well, that is the thing. I mean, if you're a working stiff, you know, to take 10 days off work is, and really
hard.
10 days is at minimum almost, isn't it, to go to Europe?
Yeah, you know, I would say that to go to Europe, 10 days is the minimum. You know, if you can do 2 weeks, that's great. If you can swing, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks, I think that's really actually ideal. But yeah, it is a significant time commitment, much more so than, you know, going on a quick trip for spring break or something like that. So people have to plan ahead. And even retired people, you know, I find that some of my retired clients, their social calendars are so filled up, you know, and we'll be talking about a trip and they're like, well, you know, we can't go this date because we have a graduation. We can't go this date because we have a wedding. And, you know, sometimes we're looking, you know, 18 months to 2 to 3 years out into the future to plan these so they can get it on their calendar with all the other commitments they have.
And that's fine with you, right? Because you think that planning ahead like that, you have more choices.
Yeah, I think two things, actually. I think certainly the early bird gets the worm in terms of finding the best availability, the best choices, the best prices. I also think that anticipation you have in your head when you are dreaming about a trip like that, I think that's really powerful.
It is.
People.
Half the fun, I think,
half
is planning it.
Half the fun is the anticipation, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, especially because the last 2 years we've all kind of been kicked around and beaten up and, you know, haven't had a lot of things to maybe look forward to. Having a nice trip on the books is a real joy to us. And, you know, you can read a book. You know, you can learn more about Germany if that's where you want to go. So when you get there, you've got a little more insight into it. And I think that's part of the anticipation of a trip as well.
So when you meet clients, I know you like to do a lot of listening and a lot of asking of questions about what people really want to do and really flesh out what would be an ideal trip for them, because Europe is such a broad statement.
Yeah. And I liken it to, you know, sometimes I'll talk to people from Europe who've been to the United States, and they'll say, I'll ask them, where have you been in the United States? And maybe they'll say, well, I've been to Orlando and Las Vegas, or I've been to Orlando and New York. You know, you're not really seeing the United States that way. And I think when it comes to Europe, you know, the responsibility is to figure out where the best place to go is, what's the best way to do it, so that you don't end up just seeing Orlando and Las Vegas and saying you've seen Europe.
Well, because I think it's different for everybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. You know, and in Europe, like you said, it's a continent. You know, it's got a tremendous amount of history. And that history, you know, can involve art and culture. It can involve ruins and museums. You know, it can involve everything from as modern as World War II history, the wars of Napoleon, back to the times of Jesus and even before that. So there's so much there, it's impossible to digest it all at once. And so when talking to the clients, you know, oftentimes they'll have somewhat of an idea in their head. There's some place that they've heard about, or maybe a friend or a neighbor went to, or some, you know, experience they want to have. Maybe they really want to go on a river cruise, and they kind of are open to suggestions as to where. And so to learn about that, and then, you know, I kind of put it into my head and cogitate about it a little bit and try to come up with a recommendation that fits with their interests, but
their time
also
limit,
their time
budget.
Limit, their budget, but it's also digestible for them. You know, sometimes it's frustrating when people will say, well, I'd love to go to Italy. I want to see everything and I have 10 days. Well, you're not going to see everything in Italy in 10 days. So we're going to have to focus your energy a little bit. And so that's part of that conversation and the planning of a trip, is to listen to all that feedback and then kind of put it through my filter and say, you know, hey, maybe this is something you didn't think about, but this is the best way to do it. Maybe this is a great trip for you to travel independently. Maybe it's a great trip to travel as part of a guided tour or on a cruise or a river cruise. So many options out there. I think it's hard for people just to, you know, say, hey, I want to go to Europe and pick something out of a hat and get started.
When you say I want to go to Europe and you go on a guided tour, are you usually able to cover more tracks?
Yeah, guided tours, you know, I think they get a little bit of a bad reputation because, you know, they're typically done by motor coach. And so I think people have this image of the casino bus. Guided tours have really changed, but one of the great things is they're very efficient. You know, you'll go directly from point A to point B to point C.
Yes, you're dropped off.
Yep, you dropped off. You get to see what you need to see. You move on. You've got plenty of free time. You've got plenty of access to things that other people maybe don't have access to. So I think they're tremendously efficient, and there is no stress. You don't have to worry about anything.
Nope, not
and
driving,
so for a lot of
parking.
People, you know, you're in a foreign country, you're in a different time zone, you're using different money. People don't, you know,
they're
speaking
English, but they're on the wrong side of the road.
Might be driving on the wrong side of the
different
road.
Side.
Yeah, and so it's the wrong side. We'll be, you know, we won the Revolutionary War. We can call it the wrong side. And so I think for people that can be really stressful. And so a guided tour can be a great way to see a lot, have a great experience, and not be stressed.
So when you flesh all of this out, is there an introduction to Europe place or trip or circle or whatever that you recommend?
Yeah, so that's where it's important to have maybe a little bit of a larger conversation with people. You know, there are some people who this may well be the only trip they ever plan to Europe. And if that's the case, we're going to probably focus on a couple of the major cities. You know, maybe London, Paris, and Rome. Maybe London, Paris, and Munich for Oktoberfest, something like that. Maybe, you know, Paris, Madrid, Rome. Get you to some of the big cities, see the main attractions, and get that experience. For other people, you know, they may want to go back to Europe a couple times over the course of their life. And so in that case, I'd probably focus in on a specific country and say, well, let's get started with Italy. You know, let's take 10 days and give you a chance to get a flavor for Italy. And then next year or 2 years later, when it's time to go to Europe again, let's go to Germany and see something different. And some people will say, oh my God, I loved Italy. I want to go back again a second time. Great. We can do that. So sometimes, you know, you're trying to give that kind of the survey of Europe. Other times you're trying to break it up into smaller pieces for people.
And what are some of the things that you can help people with that, let's say, they couldn't do on their own, or they might not feel comfortable on their own?
Yeah, so I like to tell my clients that, you know, my role is to make sure that you're very well taken care of from the moment the plane takes off until the moment the plane gets back, you know, gets back here and you get back to your house. And so it can be everything from arranging the logistics of things. How do you get from point A to point B? It can be planning and recommending the right guided tour or the right cruise or the right river cruise. It can be putting together a customized tour, you know, where you're staying in the level of hotel you want to stay at. You might like to stay in a nice boutique hotel. You might want to stay at a really grand, elegant hotel. You might want to stay at a more modest hotel. And making sure that you have the best guides so that you can see the sites you want to see, so that we take advantage of the time you have and use it really, really well. And so, you know, I go to Europe, you know, in most cases 3 or 4 times a year. And, you know, I like to make it clear to people that I'm not going to Europe on vacation. You know, I'm going there because I get a chance to meet people and see things and see places who end up, you know, being resources for my clients in the future, whether that's a hotel general manager, you know, whether that's a tour guide, whatever the case might be. I'm kind of always building up my Rolodex of resources in Europe.
And for you, it's important because if you just go off of what a picture on the internet looks like, a lot of times those aren't accurate. But if you've been there in person, you know what the hotel actually is like or the tour guide is actually like.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I haven't been to every hotel in Europe. That's impossible. But I think you're absolutely right. You know, everyone's headshot on the internet makes them look 25 and skinny, right? You know, so not everybody looks that way. And every hotel looks like it's a luxury hotel with beautiful accommodations.
Gorgeous view.
In the best spot with the best view. And sometimes you get to a hotel and you're like, huh, I can see where you took that picture from, but is it really ethical to stand on top of the dumpster and take a picture to call that your, you know, sea view? And so sometimes that is, that can be the case.
Misleading, but sure.
It's misleading. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as, where do you stay? Where is the best location? You know, if you go onto the internet and you search for a hotel in Paris, you'll get 5,000 results. Most people don't know where to even begin to filter that down. To narrow it down to a place that's going to be, you know, convenient and safe and have easy access to the things that they want to see.
And that's only one piece of your trip.
Yeah,
I mean, how do you get from the airport to this hotel if you don't speak French? And I mean, these are all things that you can help us with.
Yeah, getting from the airport to the hotel, getting from the hotel to the train station, you know, getting train tickets booked if that's what you're going to do when you're there. And then working on the experiences you have while you're there. Because I think that's probably one of the most important parts of a trip to Europe. That's where the memories are. And, you know, we've all been on tours where we have kind of an indifferent tour guide and, you know, it's 50 people following an umbrella, you know, and then it always seems to end in a souvenir shop, right? That's fine. But there are a lot of better ways to see things. And so much of Europe is meeting the people, experiencing the culture, but understanding the culture, putting it into a little bit of context, you know, so maybe it's about going on a foodie tour of a city, or maybe it's about going to an art museum with an art historian who can help you understand. You know, I was there a couple months ago and I had a chance to tour the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam. And if you just go in there and you buy your ticket, they give you a little audio guide and, you know, it sort of reads the placards by the pictures and tells you what the placards say. But they don't really give you any context. Like, who was this guy and why was he doing this?
Why was he depressed?
Yeah, why was he depressed? And, you know, all those kinds of things. And what else was happening in the world? Like, who were his friends and who were his enemies and all that kind of stuff? So it was just an absolutely fascinating tour. And I came away feeling like I could almost sit down and write a paper on Van Gogh, but it was so entertaining. Like, she did such a good job of engaging us and keeping what, you know, somewhat could be a very boring topic for some people really interesting and engaging. And so if it's art, you know, we want to find the right experience and the right guide for you. If it's food, if it's culture, if it's history, what is it to try to make that match?
So you are always trying to dig out new stuff to add to your repertoire of experiences for people.
Yep, always new places. Well, you know, they're not new places. They've been there for thousands of years. But I was on a webinar last week with French Tourist Board, and they do webinars for travel advisors every week. And so I try to go to as many as possible. And, you know, I like to think I know many, many things about France. They talked about a city that I'd heard of called Amiens, but I didn't really know anything about it. And it turns out it's actually a lot like Venice, and it's like the Venice of France, and it has all these canals and canals through gardens and just a place of incredible beauty, and I kind of had no idea. So it's like, huh, well, let's put that on the list to learn a little bit more about. And it's the kind of thing where for the right person, it might be a real highlight of their trip.
So you, again, then have these conversations with people about what they would like to do for a trip to Europe. And then do you decide on a time frame, like how long they're going to be gone? And then you look at what time of year you should do this, or how does that work?
Yeah. And in many cases, those are all kind of open questions that we'll discuss and kind of come to a agreement or a plan on. You know, sometimes there's a specific reason that they're going to go at a specific time, and so we can work with that. But a lot of times people want to go kind of that magic time when the weather is really nice, but the crowds aren't really very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that can vary by country, but to try to find the right time for people and not to end up in a beautiful destination where everything's closed for the winter or something like that.
And I know the other thing that you want to really let people know is that if this is something that's on your bucket list, don't wait until you have one foot in the bucket, right?
Well, that's true. If and when you're still able to do things, I think that's a better experience for you. You know, you get a chance to get outside and, you know, go to a park and things like that. And, you know, the Louvre Art Museum, it's probably 3 times the size of the Mall of America. And so you can do a lot of walking. You know, you'll get your 10,000 steps in pretty easily on a day in Europe. So, you know, if the time and the financial resources permit to do it when you're still young enough at heart to do that, I think that's a good thing to do.
And what are some of the things that people say after they've been to Europe for the first time? What do they tell you?
You know, it's interesting. It can run the gamut. I mean, some people will come back and just have had the most amazing experience, and they'll rave about the museum they went to or the restaurant they went to or the guide they had, or, you know, sometimes it's the random person they sat across from on a train who they had a fascinating conversation with. Some people are like, you know, I was really intimidated by the whole different currency thing, but it's actually really easy. And then sometimes people come back and say, wow, the bathrooms are really small. So that's probably the most common American response to Europe is that, wow, the bathrooms are really small. And they are. I won't lie to you. They're very efficient use of space.
So again, Europe is not out of our reach. And you would recommend what? That we'd be planning a trip now for how far in the future?
So right now, so today in 2022, Europe is so popular that it's almost impossible for me to get a trip put together for this year at this point. Flights are full, hotels are full, everything is basically full. If you're okay going in December, late November, December, we could probably pull something together. Next year, demand is already super, super high. And the folks I work with who help me plan these trips, you know, usually we can put something together in, you know, a week or so, kind of a customized proposal. Now it's more like a month on the turnaround time. And so I think if you're thinking about going in 2023, we should be talking about it, you know, in the next month or two. If you're kind of unsure as to when you want to go, it would be a good time to start talking about 2024.
Push it out
as
a year.
Well. Yeah, push it out a year. Give us a little more time to plan things. Things are already available to purchase for 2024 in Europe. So, you know, usually people plan trips to Europe 6 to 9 months out. I'd say in this environment, I'd be looking 18 to 24 months ahead and to be putting the feelers out now to get started on that.
Great advice. And how can people get a hold of you, Ted?
The best way to get a hold of me is to give me a call, 651-964-8245. You can visit my website. It's www.tedblanktravel.com. And I do put out a biweekly newsletter that you can sign up for. Or you can visit me on Facebook at facebook.com/tedblanktravel.
Great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ted Blank, the host of The Travel Show, and it's heard on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. This travel show has been brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventure.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sail.